Brad. This is the Vookcast episode 58, celebrating the launch of the all-new Vooks.net. We're back after over a year away, I think. Did we do one last year, James?
Yeah, we did, I think.
We did one, like, late August, didn't we?
Yeah,
sometime in August.
Last one, I think, was pre-3DS, when Vook was talking about the 3DS event he went to in Melbourne, or Sydney, or somewhere over there. Anyway, welcome back. I wasn't. So we're back. Joining me, Daniel Flamecon de Worthington, your host. As usual, my awesome co-host, James.
Yo.
I'm sucky at intros today. And joining us, new from the site, we have Scott.
Hey, Gum.
And Hope.
Hey, yo.
So, yeah, lots to talk about. It's been a pretty big year in the time since we last on. As I said, the 3DS has launched, so we've got a lot to go over with the year retrospective of that. But first things first, let's dive into games played, and the biggest game out recently is Kid Icarus. So, James, you're doing the review for the site.
Yeah, for this it's finished, yeah. It's
cool.
All done.
Awesome.
It should be up by the time this comes out, I reckon.
Yep.
It depends on how fast you move.
It will be up. I don't know, hopefully I have this thing done today.
it's really good. It surprised me because I wasn't, well, not that I wasn't expecting something substantial, but it's not something like that substantial, if that makes sense. Like, it's just, when you play it, you'll wonder how they fit everything onto the one cartridge. Like, you know, every level has a boss. There's all these crazy different enemies. There's just so much going on all the time. It's full of voice acting and voice work. And it's probably one of the best written Nintendo games I've ever played.
I think that's my favourite part so far, just all the voice acting and the back and forth banter, and it adds a lot to the levels. Instead of just flying around shooting stuff, you've got all this somewhat witty banter going on. And it's not just cheesy banter, it's also a lot of stuff that smart Nintendo fans will pick up on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's a lot of, they break the fourth wall a lot in that game, because I finished it, and yeah, they do it heaps. And the thing is, like, sometimes when the jokes are funny, they're funny, and then when they're cheesy, they're so cheesy that they're funny. So there's not really ever a dull moment in that game. What was I going to say? But the thing is that I wasn't expecting, that I think a lot of people will be happy to hear, is that it's a really good follow-up to, it's kind of almost like the sequel that everyone wanted to Lilac Wars, or Star Fox 64, I reckon.
Yeah, especially from the flying stuff, it's just like,
yeah, it just feels the same kind of, but, you know, more in-depth and better. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's like hundreds and hundreds of weapons that you can get. And then you can merge them together to, like, you know, make even more weapons. So, like, you know, the game is just filled with so much stuff to do and collect.
Did you find yourself just grinding through levels a lot just to get new weapons? And
oh, no. I had, like, you know, I had my deadline to work to.
Ah, okay. Well, don't like me. I mean, I've had the import copy since Tuesday, and I'm only up to, like, level, not a lot. I'm just past the water, Thanatos. Oh, hang on, I'm doing the attack on the pirates thing that I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, I know
where the pirates are from, because that's kind of awesome when you realise all that. But I'm just up to there. But I've just been finding myself going back doing levels over and over again at a higher intensity, so I can get better weapons and fuse to make better stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I did say that it's a 10-hour game easily, but you know that will go up for sure with the multiplayer and with, you know, all the grinding and stuff, because you do want to grind and to get better equipment and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty well crafted in that regard. Yeah.
Would you say the weapons have a lot of variation? Like, they're not just the same thing, but with a different skin?
The thing is, because there's like 10 different, I think 10 or 9 different categories, yeah. You know? So you've got your
bows, guns, staves.
Yeah, so you've got cannons. All these different kinds of categories. Like, you've got claws, bows, guns, staves, cannons.
Those and, you know, little things that fly around next to you.
Yeah, like orb things. And each of them has, like, a specific characteristic about them. Like, for example, the cannon fires really slowly, but it's really powerful. And, like, the claws, they're not very good at the distance, but when you're up close, because I don't know if you noticed, but when you're up close, you can, like, tap people and you can slash at them, you know, because it comes a bit hack and slashy when you're up close to people. So, yeah, I guess there is, like, I mean, obviously when you put hundreds of weapons into a game, there is going to be elements of, you know, oh, we've seen this before. But, I mean, yeah, I haven't, like, because, you know, I've played the whole game and I haven't felt like any of the weapons are, you know, cop-outs or just reskins.
And then there's also a lot of, like, even weapons of the same type will have different attributes. Like, some can do paralyzing attacks or make you slightly faster or increase your HP. And then
so they have buffs.
Yeah. And when you fuse weapons together, sometimes they'll carry over the stats from the previous weapon to it and make a new stronger weapon.
Yeah, I have a question about the fusion.
Yeah.
When you do a fusion, like, do you choose, like, a base weapon that's, like, the weapon... Like, if, say you've got, like, the beam claws, for example, and you are upgrading them with another weapon, would the first weapon be, like, the weapon it stays as, or does it become a completely new, different weapon?
It becomes a completely new, different weapon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, yeah, it is. It's crazy.
It's really weird when you have two claws and then they fuse to make, like, a staff, and you're like, oh,
it doesn't really make sense. But you could always say that it's magic. A wizard did it, kind of, so...
But, eggplant wizard or something.
Oh. Yeah, the thing is, yeah, it gives you, like, a grid of all the weapons you've got, and, you know, on the top row with all your weapons, and on the set, the vertical row is all your other weapons, so, like, you just pick where they
right, okay.
set, and that fuses them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I just assumed that you take the base one and then, like, take an attribute from another one and add that to it.
So, like, augment weapons rather
yeah,
than
something like that.
New
yeah.
ones.
Yeah, you would think that. That's what I thought would happen when I first heard about it. But, yeah, you get a completely new weapon that you might have some attributes of the previous one. It's pretty cool like that. But even the other thing that I love about Kid Icarus, because I played the Game Boy one and I played the NES one on my 3DS.
This is what I hate about... One thing I hate about having a US 3DS, we're missing out heaps of the Game Boy games coming out.
Well, you chose to import.
Yeah, I know.
You have to weigh up the...
Well, I've got Mutant Muds, so in your face.
I don't care about that.
It's awesome.
Anyway, and, yeah, so like, what I love about Kid Icarus, the new one, is, you know, it's really... Even though it's changed so much from the original games, which were kind of almost Metroid-y, it's kind of... got its own identity now, but it's also, you know, it hasn't thrown everything out. Like, you know, every time one of your characters is talking about a certain enemy, it will show, like, the original NES sprite, like, on the screen, so you remember, oh, that's that guy, do you know what I mean? Like, because obviously since 25 years ago, we've moved quite far in terms of graphics.
Well, they even make reference to that. It's like, in the beginning, it's like, it's been 25 years since she last attacked, and, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, that's what
that's
I love.
So much of it. I'm sure, because there's these enemies that look a lot like Metroids.
Yeah.
And they actually make reference to the fact that aren't these Metroids, and they're like, no, that's a different game. We're not related to that series at all. So that's awesome.
But, yeah, it's
that
just
cool.
It is really, really cleverly written, and I think most people who really like Nintendo games or know their history of games will really appreciate that on top of how good the game is itself as well.
And it just looks amazing. It's
yeah.
I'm just floored at how... I mean, I think this would be better than a lot of Wii games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I want to see it on an actual DS, because I've only seen, like, YouTube videos and stuff of it, so obviously,
yeah.
you know, the resolution's all screwed up.
The thing is... The 3D is mostly, you've got to really see it to experience it. But I suppose that's the same with every 3DS game. But with Kid Icarus,
yeah,
like,
every game, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's this one level where you've got to, like, infiltrate a fortress and you're flying around and then they activate their defenses or something and these turrets come out and shoot lasers at you. And every single laser is like,
a that's from the E3 trailer, yeah?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so. And yeah, and every single laser is going...
Sorry, that's from the trailer, isn't it, with the...
Yeah, I think so. And, yeah, it's just... It looks so good. But you've got to see it to really appreciate it, I suppose.
Now the big probably worry a lot of people have of Kid Icarus is the controls.
Yes, that is correct.
How did you find them?
I'm right-handed, so I had no problem. In my review, I got Vuk to write... Because in the new review system, we can do box outs now. So Vuk will have written, because he's left-handed, he will have written his own little stance on it. Because apparently, because the game, the controls are ridiculously, complex for So, I mean, for me...
I don't know if they're complex. I mean,
well, you know, complex. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's...
It's just like, you know, all at once you've got to be moving a character with the analog stick, you've got to be aiming with the stylus, and you've got to be attacking with, you know, one of the shoulder
buttons. So they're not ultra accessible.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, you can't just pick up and play it. And especially with the on-foot sections where you're controlling Pit and moving him, that's where it becomes a more of an issue for me as a right-handed player.
See, if you just followed the tutorial, you won't have a problem with the controls. It'll take a little bit getting used to, but it's not like... You're not going to have... I mean, it's not like there's a lot to do with the buttons. It's like, say, Batman Arkham City last year, where each button seems to have five or six different functions, depending on what other button you're holding. It's... The controls are simple, but it just takes a little bit to sort of learn them.
Yeah, it's just... Because the thing is, especially, what I've been told is you don't have it... The Circle Pad Pro can be used with Kid Icarus for left-handed players, but... The problem then becomes a lot of people are used to using the second control stick as a, you know, like a camera stick or an aiming stick in other video games.
Yeah.
And it's apparently it's hard to overcome that for Kid Icarus because you're not using... If that makes sense? It's just such a hard...
Yeah, that's understandable.
The problem is, yeah, I'm not left-handed, so I don't really... I don't 100% understand. I do, but I don't...
Well, I can because every game... I mean... Even first-person shooters, they aren't designed to switch the camera controls for left-handed people. Like, the camera controls are always going to be on the same stick, regardless if you're left-handed or right-handed. But with Kid Icarus, because you need to use the stylus as a pen, well, the stylus as a pen, left-handeds need to hold that in their left hand, so then they have to control movement with a stick that they normally wouldn't use movement with, just so they can use their hand properly for the stylus.
Yeah, that's kind true.
There are a lot of little options in there for you to mess around with the controls. Like, there's no dual analog stick controls, but you can change it so you can control the camera with the circle pad and move with the face buttons and all that. But even then, I found them not to be as responsive as using the stylus.
Yeah,
you know, that's confusing.
What?
You know how in Metroid Prime Hunters, because I'm left-handed, in Metroid Prime Hunters, they let you just move your character around using the face buttons, like A, B, X, and Y.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they have offered that?
Yeah, that's the...
Oh, well, no, you can.
Can you?
Really?
I think so. I'd need to double-check. But, I mean, you can set it up so you can use... You don't need to use the stylus at all. So I'm sure I saw in the options...
No. I'm saying you still use the stylus.
Yeah, like...
But instead of using
as if it's
circle,
a D-pad. As if the ABXY buttons are a D-pad.
Is that because you have to, like, I think, don't you have to, like, sort of do the same thing you do in, like, Smash Bros. When you, like, kind of, you know, smash the controller to do your smash moves? Like, is there a similar thing you need to do with the circle pads?
Not that I know of.
You missed out the whole facet of the game.
I finished it, and I did not encounter that. I hope I didn't miss it.
Okay. I thought it had something to do with dodging, but
you flick the you flick the stylus like a touch screen.
Oh, the stylus. Okay. Yeah.
Oh no! Oh no! You do. You flick the circle pad. Sorry, I'm getting confused.
Yeah, that could be.
That's
possible.
To dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be a reason. But
they would have come up with a workaround for that, though.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, this is what everyone is angry about because, you know, people love to be angry on the internet.
You can't move Pit with the D-pad. I was just checking.
Yeah.
You can move the camera with the D-pad, which is kind of stupid.
Because the thing is, you know, Nintendo kind of... I think that it says a lot that Nintendo kind of included a stand with the game that they knew that people would get cramped up playing the game.
I have not touched that stand at all.
Yeah, well, I haven't either. I had no problems, but every time someone complains about getting cramps with anything, I never do. So, as I said in my review, I think I have... weird hands or something, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any problems, but I mean, the stand is meant to alleviate some of the problems, but I mean, who's going to take a stand with them out with a portable console, you know, and set it up on a bus or, you know, like it's
a little counterintuitive. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I found it's fine if you play it in like 20 minute bursts. Like, if you go any more than that, then my wrist starts hurting a bit. And I usually play a lot when I'm on the train or during my breaks at work, which are usually only like 15, 20 minutes long anyway. So it's not really been an issue for me.
Mm.
I guess that's really showing like how much it probably would have been better to be on a home console.
I think it would have worked great on the Wii.
But I feel like it wouldn't have had as much of an audience.
No, I mean, it really should have been a launch title for the 3DS, because reinventing a franchise like this would have been a great thing to have at launch.
There's a lot of things that should have been launch titles for the 3DS.
Yeah, we'll go through that later. But, I mean, even that, I think it makes a good debut. I think it works now as it is.
Once you've gotten used to the controls, do they flow well, or is it still sort of like, oh, what does that button do again?
Oh, yeah, no, they flow well, for sure. The best thing that I love about Kid Icarus was once you do get like a hold of the controls and you crank the intensity or difficulty up, you know, you do feel like you're really playing this intense action game. Like, you know, you're moving things, you're shooting things, you're dodging, you're slashing things.
You're just circling the camera, just making sure you haven't missed any enemies in the room.
Yeah, like, it becomes so fast-paced, and because you manage it, well, yeah, it just makes you feel really good.
James is just like, I'm awesome and I beat them all.
Yes, I put on wings and go intensity fit afterwards because I just feel so good.
Have you had this issue before where because of the way he moves on ground, like you're on a narrow platform, you just want to move a little bit to the left or right, but he moves really fast when you just sort of tap it and then he goes flying off the edge?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mentioned that bar a few. But yeah, in closing, it's a really, really good game. The controls are okay. They're bearable once you get used to them. There are a few niggles, like, you know, sometimes you need to move subtly, but Pit won't move subtly. The writing's really good. The voice acting is really good. The twists are okay. I just realised that, Daniel, you wouldn't have gotten up to the major twist yet, so I probably should stop talking.
I think I may have, because I was going through the, I was going through something. I may have spoiled myself on something, but
anyway.
Then again, I spoiled myself on a little bit when it came to Ghost Trick, but yeah.
Let's not ruin it for anyone else.
Two other quick things, just on Kid Icarus. The AR card battle. I've not had a look at that at all. What's the full go with that?
Basically, you collect cards, you scan them in, and then you fight whatever you scan in.
No online mode with that at all, or
not that. I don't think so. No.
Are there rewards for beating the scanned in? Is it that kind of thing?
That's a good question. I can't even remember.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, you can tell this game is made by the guy who did Smash Brothers, just because like the menus look like Smash Brother menus. But also, it's got the whole trophy gallery sort of thing Smash Brothers had, and yeah. I'm pretty sure when you scan in a card, it'll actually upload that card card to your gallery.
Because, like, obviously Club Nintendo is letting you buy cards for, what is it, 200 star points at the moment?
Yes, and I believe so.
And I had the fun of registering all my Club Nintendo points the other night and doing, like, 15 goddamn surveys just so I could get a whole heap.
How terrible and annoying are those surveys?
Oh, I love... Okay, I was just... Because I was getting to the point where I was just getting bored of them, and I was registering... And because I've just got... Whenever I buy a Nintendo game, I'll just chuck the Club Nintendo cards in another box so I can do them later. So I don't know what game I'm registering when I do it. So I'm getting, I don't know, I had got one for Golden Sun. And then I get to Mario Sports Mix. And it comes up to the question of, why did you buy this game? And I'm like, and I answered, this game has Peach in a miniskirt and that is hot. So hopefully someone get a giggle out of some of the answers.
I'm sure they would appreciate that.
Yeah. I love how you have to type in the code in capitals, so then whatever I say the survey is still in capitals. Rather than, you know, just normal.
I guess that's all right if you hate the game. You can just rage at it.
And how was the online, James?
Yeah, the online is good. I played about, I think it was 20 matches all up. Yeah. I enjoyed them. The thing is, I felt that a lot of people, because it's not 100%, it's not, you know, it doesn't feel tuned well. Like, you know, everyone seems to really favour attacking me up close rather than, you know, actually shooting and...
Your animal magnetism.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, yeah, it's easier to attack someone when you melee them because, you know, they automatically zoom in, if that makes... Not zoom in, like, home in on you. It just... It's fun. It's really hectic and it's fun, and it's more fun with people you know, and it performs well, but I just think...
No lag that you've noticed?
Not that I noticed. I mean, I played one game with someone who was in, like, Brazil or something, and
that could be me. My DS is set to Brazil.
Oh, really?
I can use my credit card on the Brazil eShop, but not the US one, so I'm like, okay.
How did you even discover that?
We don't know. I've forgotten how we found that out. Because when the eShop first launched, we could use non-US credit cards on the US eShop, but they locked it out pretty quickly, so I think people just started experimenting, and I read it on a forum.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
that's how it sounds.
I love how they want our money.
Yeah, I know. Also,
yeah, that's so true. But yeah, I mean, the multiplayer works well. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not something, like, if it was missing, I wouldn't be like, oh, wow, this game should have multiplayer, you know? It's just something else, just to add to it.
There's just so much in this package.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a feeling they're going to keep supporting this game somehow, like, because I think it's the first one to come out here with the Nintendo Network.
Yeah, I saw that.
Logo. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they're going to support it with stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we'll leave it for Kid Icarus on that. Might touch up on it again next episode. We just had a Wi-Fi night recently for it. Hopefully should be another one coming up for it soon.
Yes,
I don't know exactly.
I do believe everyone had quite good fun. So.
Okay, so we'll go next. We'll talk about Pokemon Park 2, is it?
Yeah, it's
yep, which you've
I'm
been playing and reviewed for us, Hope.
Yes, sometimes I get the short straw.
So what is... Okay, I didn't play the first Pokemon Park.
It's not that bad.
It's actually not that bad. I'm a bit of a Pokemon nut, so I kind of see Pokemon on the case of something, and that's the end of my day. It's a lot like...
Did you buy all the Ranger games?
Sorry?
Did you buy the Ranger games?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, okay. Well, you're strong in that regard.
I've got a friend who loves the Ranger games. He thinks they're the best. But
really?
I've never really played one. Yeah.
I've never played one, and it's mostly just been a money thing than a not getting it thing.
I don't think you're missing out. I have had to review two of them.
Oh, poor James.
I mean, they're good, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, this is Pokemon, but instead of battles and meaningful stats, we will replace it with drawing circles. Like, that's it. So,
we should get Vuk on talk about
anyway,
Pokemon Dash.
Part 2.
One of the funniest things, I think, with any Pokemon game that's not a trainer-based game is that instead of catching Pokemon, you're befriending them. And it's just
by
because you're
them.
A Pokemon. Well, and
isn't
usually it's by
it?
Fighting them.
Yeah.
How is this different again? It's a lot like number one. You play as Pikachu for the most part, but you get to play as the black-white starters as well. And you're basically dropped into a world where Pokemon are playing freely and happily, and you hear about a place called Wish Park, and there's...
So wait a second. They're playing happily and freely, they're having a really nice time, and then you, Pikachu, go in there and start battling them.
Yeah, pretty much. No. I think it has usual Pokemon considered getting the shit kicked out of them a lot of fun. Never really understood the concept, but apparently it's pretty much the idea of a Pokemon's great day. But Wish Park, apparently there's free cake and stuff, so you think, yeah, I'm going there, and then you find out it's all sinister and Pokemon are being controlled and you have to set them free.
Oh, no.
I know, I cried. But it's unbearably cute. No matter where you go, there is a Pokemon doing something adorable. Even your cutscenes have, like, Pikachu running over and falling and then Snivy jumping over him like, oh, are you okay?
So there are cutscenes.
Yeah.
So the story is actually well put together, kind of.
Is it voice acted?
There is, sort of.
Really?
Hang on, do they use, like, the anime Pokemon sound or the game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Not the Game Boy sounds.
Obviously, it's not, like, every, like, word. But it's mostly text for what they're saying with, like, sort of emoting via their sound, I guess.
All right.
Oh, so they actually have, like, speech down the bottom. It's like, hi, Squirtle, how are you today? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it should just be all sort of like them just saying what they say in the show, and you're sort of left to determine what they're saying.
Yeah,
well,
but you're playing...
That you are.
That would be a confusing game.
No, that would be great.
Have
you can
you
make your
seen
own story.
Vacation?
Yes. I think that was the last one I saw.
You know, if you're playing as a Pokemon, you should this is what they do in secret that none of us know about. Like, it sounds like they're just saying their name, but they really mean this. Am I correct?
I know.
Or not?
Well, that sounds about right.
Well, it's like a dog barking, I guess.
That Pokemon episode where Ash turned into a Pikachu, could he talk to him then?
No, he still spoke in, he still spoke in, like, English or Japanese, I guess, in the original.
The thing is, if they all just say their name, how are, like, their languages mutually intelligible?
Now we're arguing.
It doesn't make sense.
You're talking about a world where there's, like, a giant flying fire-breathing dragon that spits into a tiny ball, and you're arguing if they can understand each other?
It's a fair point.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's a stupid point.
The gameplay of Pokepark to try to get things back sort of on track. Basically, you want to befriend other Pokemon. Usually do it by battling them or running them down and tackling them. As I said, Pokemon are pretty friendly. And there are a few little arcade games in there along the way, like sort of like a on-rail shooter type thing. It's like arcade-y type stuff. Another one's... So, I mean, it's tough to get through if you're an adult. I mean, it's only about 9 hours long for the story, and a lot of it's quite repetitive, but I actually think it's a great game for kids.
Yeah, that's the thing. With
I would highly recommend it for any younger player who's really into Pokemon.
Well, my nephew's 8, and he's like, that's all it is right now. Like, he's going through playing Pokemon Platinum, I think.
He would have a ball.
Yeah, he's addicted to Pokemon at the moment.
Well, I was, and I've never really recovered, so...
I think he... Because, I mean, I actually liked Pokemon Rumble that came out for the 3DS, but he's, like, just playing that non-stop as well.
I don't think Hope likes Pokemon Rumble.
I did not like Pokemon Rumble.
Why not? I thought it was okay.
I liked it for the first... Because, obviously, I reviewed it.
Yeah.
And so I had to beat it, because that's sort of my thing. I have to get to the end of the game before... I don't think it's sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the first, like, 2 or 3 hours, I thought it was great. But then it is exactly that over and over again. Like, the
letter
a copy-pasted, basically.
And that it's very random when you actually get a new Pokemon as well, which is very frustrating. You just
There's
play
a little
level.
Bit of science behind it. Like, different abilities and stuff will help you do it. And you want to kind of make them tip, I think, is what Spelling was saying.
Okay.
But it is very random and... But just the sheer repetitive, like, you're actually doing the exact same thing, and type advantage means nothing in that game.
Yeah.
I have spent, like, the better, maybe 12, 15 years of my life learning the types and what they do. I want to use that, damn it.
That's true.
And also because you can't really get attached to any of the Pokemon you get in that game because they don't level up, so you've just got to keep getting new ones.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, part of the goodness of Pokemon is obviously having Pokemon that you like, leveling them up, giving them new moves, that kind of thing. But with this one, I mean, you can swap out moves, but because they're a set level, I mean, a level 5 is not going to be any use against a level 60.
Yeah.
And they're toys as well. I've never liked that idea. Why are they toys? No one's real Pokemon.
Exists in the Toy Story world.
Anyway, PokePark. I was actually going to ask
you
a question.
Get it.
Yeah. You can play as other Pokemon in this one, yeah?
You play as Pikachu and the Black-White starters, so you've got Snivy and Oshawott and Tepig.
Do they play any differently?
They have different attacks and different speed. I found that, and also a bit of different... there's some platforming elements to it, and things like Tepig can break a rock and Snivy can jump a little higher and stuff like that. So there are some areas that you may not be able to reach or get bonuses without those Pokemon. Or Oshawott's the only one that can swim. There's also, I really like there's these treasure hunt platformy bits, which are sort of like a 2D platformer, and it's like a puzzle where your Pokemon's different moves will unlock or, like, get past different obstacles. And there's only, like, 3 of them in the game, but they're brilliant. And they could have made a whole game based on them if they fleshed them out.
Yeah, it seems like it was... Because I reviewed the first one back in the day. It seems like it's improved a lot. And the thing is, the other thing that I think is really good is the first one would have been so much less than the second one, but the first one was like recommended retail price at like $100.
Yeah, this one's only like $60.
Yeah, $60 or $70, and I think that's much more appropriate. I think, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it's...
Especially being a game for younger kids as well, and probably not the most graphically advanced title going around.
It does look pretty, like...
Well, the presentation value looks pretty high from what I've seen of it.
It's
like, it doesn't look like it's a well-put-together game.
Yeah, it's very simple. Like, it's not going over the top with detail or anything, but... And, like, little things, like, you'll be walking around in the area and Pokemon will be off playing with a ball or something just while you're there, so there's always, like, a lot of stuff going on around you.
Yes.
So it's, like, they're providing
it's got a dynamic
world. They're making the world seem real.
Yeah. I always like that in any game.
Cool. So yeah, worth to pick up if you've got...
Not every game.
So you're worth to pick up if you're a poker nut or if you've got kids or like younger relatives or whatever, know who would love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. Next one, we'll leave the other big game for last. But Scott, you said you finally started Skyward Sword.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I haven't got very far. I'm up to the Elden Volcano, which I'm assuming is leading up to the second temple somewhere.
Exactly but, where I'm up to.
Is that where you're up to?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you guys have hardly done anything.
But yeah.
I was about to say, what?
No.
I got sidetracked.
Sure. It's,
I mean, I had it since
yeah,
it came out, and
me
I've hardly
too.
Touched
I've got
it.
Sidetracked as well. And I've got sidetracked from playing it, and also sidetracked from the main quest in the game. Like, I was doing a lot of those, you know, what's his name? The demon? At the bottom of the skull,
yeah.
So I was doing
and you gotta
like,
find
all the
those
gratitude crystals for him. Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I've been
doing that a lot.
When I was playing for it, I mean, I got to the first boss, and I'm like, yeah, I don't. I wasn't really impressed with the first big boss fight, but I've been told it really picks up after that. So
really, I actually like that because I wasn't expecting it.
Man, I can't even remember what the first boss fight was now.
Is it the skeleton?
That's
some guy with white hair and a long tongue.
Oh, the Lady Gaga.
What's his name, Rob?
Girahim.
Girahim, that's it, yes. Because I wasn't expecting him to fight me. I was like, oh, okay, he's probably just going to leave and, like, summon some monster, and I'll have to fight that. And then he's just like, not going to take you. And I'm like, whoa.
I mean, in the past...
Like, I assumed he'd be like the final boss or something. Or towards the end anyway.
In the past, the first Zelda game, the first Zelda bosses have usually been pretty big, like eye-opening thing. Like you had Gorma in Ocarina of Time, or that big mask dude in Majora's Mask or something. They're usually just some big centerpiece sort of villain. Like monster. Centerpiece. Also probably a centipede in some of those cases.
Well,
but you know, it's a big thing. Whoa, this is what I'm
doing. That's not the story.
Yeah, I know. They did try to go more story-based with this one. But I think what stuck for me is just it took so long to even get to that point and the whole stupid high school drama stuff.
Yeah. With Skyward Sword, has anyone else here finished it?
No.
Oh, this is so depressing. I can't talk about this then.
You can't anyway.
Once I finish the other Wii game I'm playing, I'm going to go back into Skyward Sword.
It's one of those games I felt that, you know, it's... I don't even know how to explain it. I felt like they changed it up just to change it up because they knew they had to.
Mm.
And, I mean, I think it's great. I think the bosses are great. I think the dungeons are awesome. The Motion Plus use is easily the best we've seen. Mind you, it's not that hard to be the best with Motion Plus. easily the best we've seen. Yeah, I don't know. I thought the bosses were good, but I did think that towards the end it just feels too long. And I think that, because I don't know if you guys know, but it's basically a game where you're given three areas and, you know, you might visit each of those areas twice or something instead of having, like, say, six new areas, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
which to me was, I love variety in my games.
It feels lazy.
Yes, that's what, yeah, that's the thing. It does feel lazy, but I mean, it's such a long game and the story is so well written as well that, I don't know, I feel like maybe they focused on, maybe they focused on some things and not on others. Maybe that's why it's that way.
See, it's funny when you say it, because I'm the same. I mean, I like Zelda. I mean, Link to the Past, you've got, like, what is it, 11, 12 dungeons to go through, and that's awesome. But then my favourite Zelda is Majora's Mask, which only really has 3 dungeons.
But Majora's Mask easily has the best atmosphere of any of the games.
Yeah, and I sort of think that's what they've tried to do with this, just try and concentrate on a lot smaller areas and trying to do just one big, huge area.
But do you know what else was annoying to me was, you know, like, you would get to the end of a dungeon, because you do fight What's-His-Face a few more times, Girahim, and, I mean, it's the same kind of gist of the battle, but, you know, he might have a few new moves or something. I feel that that's lazy too. Yes, I think that we should. Everyone is suggesting that we just call him Lady Gaga. I would be happy with that.
It suits him.
He's a very Lady Gaga-ish villain. But yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, I do recommend that you guys play it through because the twist at, like, the end is a really good twist, I thought.
I mean, it's a console Zelda game. I've finished all I've played except for Zelda 2, but that doesn't count because that's a horrible, mean, nasty game.
And the Zelda's Adventure on the Philips CDI.
Oh, they don't exist. You're talking about
Wand of Gamelon.
But actually, I've got a really bad track record with Zelda lately. I mean, I was doing well up until the Oracle games came out, and then I haven't finished them, haven't finished any of the DS ones, haven't finished Ocarina of Time 3D.
Zelda has popped my cherry.
Great.
It's my first comment. Zelda.
Good natural imagery.
You're welcome.
And then I think my favourite Zelda of the last year was the Four Swords one we got for free on the DS. Because that was awesome.
I only played like maybe like one minute, like one level of it.
I loved playing it with my nephew because he's 8 and I'll just pick him up and throw him in the lava and then steal all the rupees.
Oh.
It's great. You can be an asshole.
What do you guys think of Fee?
Oh, there's a 90% chance I hate
don't mind her.
You don't mind her.
I don't like the whole calculation thing, but I don't mind when she says stuff. It's like, well, I mean, honestly, you're going to get that in modern games. They're very hard on making sure you have direction nowadays.
Yeah, but like,
it's just something that's evolved.
I like to be able to figure out the puzzle myself.
There's ways to do it as well. Like this is my issue with Fee, and it still is my issue with Fee, is not only does she come out like every 5 seconds with some annoying percentage.
Hey, listen.
She's so, what's the word, flat? Like she's not interesting at all.
Nope. Well, they tried to give her a personality by not having any personality.
But that's not a personality.
Yeah, I know, but they've tried to go the whole sort of...
And, you know, like, she just... All she does is, like, you know, she gives you a vague hint and then a very in-your-face hint, pulled like a derp face, and then she dances at the end of each dungeon. It's like... It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's weird. Maybe she's the Lady Gaga.
I was like, what?
Yes, she is. So many Lady Gaga characters in
this. Maybe Lady Gaga split into both of them. They're like separate entities of the same whole.
The best sort of like co-companions Nintendo have done for these games are the ones where they've given them a little bit of attitude, and like Minda and Tolt from Majora's Mask, who you don't really know if they're good or bad guys. They just sort of seem to like stirring you up.
I mean, even Tattle.
I like from Majora's Mask.
Oh, Tattle, yeah. I thought it was Tolt.
Oh, Tattle, yeah. He's, you know, like...
It's a he? I thought it was a girl.
It's a he, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh.
No, it's a girl.
It's my MSN Tattle, messenger
the
sound.
The purple one's a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sister and brother.
I've been reading it in a boy voice. Oh, no.
I think. I mean, I might have just assumed that, but...
I would assume... Anyway...
No, but... they definitely say, like, bro and sis, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. I think that's cool. Like, you know, you're stuck with this fairy because he gets left behind. Like, he's usually the villain's fairy. But then he kind of warms to you. I think that's a cool idea.
Mm.
And, I mean, even though Navi was, like, everyone says how annoying she was, like, you know. I mean, I think Fee is the new Navi.
They needed to have Aminda again because she was awesome as well.
Yeah, I liked her, but she was snarky. Too snarky.
Great.
She needs to learn her place as a woman.
Okay. Hopefully next time. Queen. Hopefully next time. I'll be back in a Skyward Sword, and Scott may have gotten a bit further as well, so he might be able to go a bit more into that.
The thing is, like, if you guys haven't finished it, I do recommend you finish it. The story at the end is just really cool, the way it all comes together.
But I'm waiting to finish the game that I'm playing right now on my Wii, which is The Last Story.
Yes.
Which is the new game from Mistwalker Studios, headed by, what's his name? How do you say it, James?
Sakaguchi.
The guy
who did Final Fantasy.
Yeah, he worked on every Final Fantasy up until...
I think 9.
No, he did 10, and I think he may have helped a bit with 12. 11, but I don't think he did anything with 12 or beyond. Nobuo Uematsu, who did all the music for the Final Fantasy games up until 12 as well. It's this year's big RPG from Nintendo, made by a lot of the same team from Final Fantasy. Amazing, brilliant game. What did you think of it, James? How far are you into it, by the way?
I reckon I'm about halfway.
How many hours?
Probably 20.
Okay, so yeah, I'm about 15, but I've been mucking around doing side quests a lot in the city lately.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that game. I lost interest, but I don't know why. But what I love about Last Story is it, you know, how JRPGs, not everyone likes them. They kind of get us stuck in their own little
world. And
a lot of them aren't catching up with modern conventions of gaming, if that makes sense.
But this one is.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, like, I mean, we kind of saw it with Xenoblade, like, that kind of modernized the genre a little bit. But Last Story just completely, I mean, I made this ridiculous comparison. It just sounds so stupid, but I think it's accurate. Like, you know, Last Story is almost like kind of Final Fantasy mixed with all the really good parts of, like, Dragon Age and Mass Effect, if that makes sense.
And maybe a little bit of, like, action-y God of War sort of stuff there as well?
Yeah, well, like, the combat is very fast-paced. It's not turn-based, obviously. You know, and the really cool stuff is stuff like, you know, you can shoot down bridges to make sure enemies can't cross to you. You know, like...
The whole crossbow thing, it's just sort of...
It's just quite well done, and there's an emphasis on stealth if you want there to be, but there doesn't have to be, if that makes sense. Is good.
Okay, just to set the game up, I mean, the game starts, you just these bunch of mercenaries going through this sort of tunnel, killing off these reptids, which are these humanoid reptile things. The main character introduced to you is Zale, who is actually likeable, unlike a lot of JRPG characters I've found lately.
And he's happy.
Yeah, he's happy. He doesn't have the usual, this sucks.
Doesn't have the angsty JRPG character.
And again, this is from the guy who designed Final Fantasy VII and VIII, so... Yeah, with Squall and Cloud. Early on, he sort of gets given this power of the Outsider, which is, at first, it's just basically this thing that'll draw all the enemy's attentions to you and help you revive fallen comrades in battle. Battle is not turn-based at all.
Yeah, a lot of the battles and stuff are revolved around this idea of if an enemy isn't paying attention to you, then you'll do more damage to it, if that makes sense. So a lot of some of the powers and stuff are all revolved around putting attention off you or bringing attention to yourself so your teammates can go in and stuff like that.
So sort of like tanking.
Yeah, well, that's what Zale is. Yeah. Pretty much he's got all these awesome drawing combat aggro moves he can do. I can't get over how good the combat is. I mean, at first I wasn't feeling the game. I only played it for like 2 hours at first and just went, this is all right. But then I played the next... like 7 or 8 hours of it, and it just sort of exploded about how great the combat system works, because I think I said in the forum post, I don't feel like the battles are battles, they just feel more like these huge epic events with all this stuff going on around you, and you're running around, running through enemies, and just doing these awesome moves. Like, he's got this move he learns that, it's not like you're doing button commands to do special attacks. You're sort of doing the actual actions yourself. There's one where if you run up to a wall, everything will slow down, and then you can sort of run up the wall and hit an enemy with a, like, jump off the wall and hit an enemy with a sword, and all this
Prince
really...
Prince of Persia style.
Yeah, all this really great cinematic-looking stuff.
Does it slow down and do, like, bullet time?
Yeah. For stuff like that, yeah. Like, once you've triggered the event for this, for that move, the wall slash move to happen, it'll slow down so you can actually direct where your attack's going to go. You've got this other one you do, Gale, which you use to break enemy casting spells. To do that, you hold down the A button and then you get to sort of decide which direction you're going in, and then you let it all go and you go off flying in that direction. If that
so
makes
you've got,
sense.
You've got some powerful stuff to work
oh,
with.
Oh, yeah. And then you also unlock an ability later on to command everyone else in the battlefield where it pauses everything, you select everyone's moves, because then it can go turn-based if you want to there.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can if you want to. Well, I mean, it's not turn-based, it's just you're pausing everything to select everyone's attack. Kind of like what they do in Dragon
Age. Okay.
Exactly like what they do
in Dragon Age. Yeah, so like in Knights of the Old Republic, yeah. Same
yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is you can choose to play it also. Like, you know, when you're close to the enemy, you automatically attack at certain intervals. But you can also make it so that you can attack just by button presses to make it more like an action game.
How do you do that? Is that in the controls?
It's in the options.
I like the way the combat is by just pushing towards an enemy to hit him. I think that works
yeah.
well.
Well, I was meant to review it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to now because I just don't have any time at all. So I tried both modes.
I ain't reviewing it.
Pressing, I don't expect you to.
It's hard enough for me to do VC reviews.
But like when you're actually attacking with just a button, it basically, you do less damage because you can attack faster, which is kind of cool because I like how it's balanced that way. But yeah, you can pretty much play the game. It's a JPG, you can play it whichever way you want. And I think that's why it's so good. And it mixes all the stuff that makes a good Western RPGs really good with all the stuff that makes JRPGs good, so it's like this perfect thing.
it's probably the... I mean, did you fall in love with Xenoblade like everyone else did when that came out, or...?
I didn't fall in love. We had a good friendship, but...
No, but I mean, everyone's gone absolutely mental.
What,
I mean,
what happens in Xenoblade stays in Xenoblade?
Well, I mean, like, Xenoblade's like... currently the highest rated JRPG since probably Chrono Trigger or something. I know, I'm just looking at game rankings, shouldn't take that serious, but I find myself enjoying this more than Xenoblade, because Xenoblade has a lot of the problems with JRPGs where it just sort of becomes a bit too heavy and there's too many stats to take care of, whereas this, there are stats to take to worry about, but
not really.
It's sort of all in the background, you can sort of ignore it if you want to. Upgrading items is ridiculously easy. And I love how the armor actually changes on your characters as well when you upgrade stuff, which not enough stuff does.
I know that Sakaguchi was saying that he thinks JRPGs and generally that video game graphics are killing the industry because, you know, people are spending too much time making graphics and that it's excessive and basically an abuse of what should be good game making. Do you think that?
Yeah, like Final Fantasy XIII is going to be the big example. And don't get me wrong, I didn't mind the time I played Final Fantasy XIII. I think it's an okay game. But for the amount of work and effort they put into it, it's not as good as a game as it should be.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, when you're spending, like, months just rendering a single character, and
that's not really going to have a point
of a game. And
is Lost Story better for this sort of ideology?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this is the other thing with The Last Story. It's not structured traditionally. Really, you go on missions, the missions themselves are linear, but then the huge town isn't.
Yeah. The huge town I found was a bit of a problem at first because it is really overwhelming, and I think that's where I got lost in the game.
And you have no, like, distinct journal.
Yeah. That's one thing that annoys me is that you do a lot of... There are a lot of sub-quests you can take on, but there's no journal of what subquests you have going at the minute, which kind of annoys me a bit. So you need to sort of remember where you're up to and just to keep track of stuff. But other than that... you could write it down, I guess. Well, I mean, the first quest I had was... go find all these coins for me, and then I didn't want to put the game down till I found them all because I was worried I'd forget I was doing it. and that took ages to do anyway.
That kind of seems like a no-brainer to have a journal in that sort of game.
Yeah.
Well, you would say that. I mean, the other thing is, like, you know, I think, what game did I just play where the journal was awful? And it was a big... Mass Effect 3. The journal in that game is awful, and that's a big RPG.
That journal sucks. Like, you can't tell where you need to go for anything.
Yeah, like, it just says, you know, the journal will say, you got this quest, where you must do this. And then it doesn't even tell you if you do what you're meant to do or where you're meant to go. It's just, it's really weird. Like, all these games, like, even Last Story, you would expect them to have a good journal because that's what they are.
See, that's what I loved about the Fallout games, where if you've got your whole quest list, you accept it, and then, I mean, it doesn't just tell you what you need to do, but on your map it'll have a marker on where you need to go, and on your compass in the bottom of the screen, it'll have, like, an arrow which way to go, and it just works so well.
And it works, because, I mean, the way that I play them is, you know, I will go and speak to everyone, get all these quests, and then, you know, look at my journal and decide which ones to do, you know?
Yeah.
That said, in Last Story's defense, it's a very linear RPG as well, so you don't... Maybe sort of looking at it like that, you don't need a lot of that stuff because you're always going to be pushing this one direction. You can't
really
get
lost. Did just say you were scared to put the game down.
With everything in the city, it's a bit like that. But once you actually do go to the big quests and all that, then yeah, that makes sense.
Once you're doing a big quest, you know what you're going to be doing. You know.
But I mean, getting back to the graphics, I mean, the graphics aren't bad. I'm actually sort of... The game looks pretty. I mean...
Yeah, but being on the Wii, it's naturally going to be less expensive.
But I think they've got a good art style. I mean, that's always been the trick to good Wii games is have a good art style to hide the bad graphics. I just finished Fragile Dreams the other week. And it's one of the most beautiful-looking games I've ever played, but that's got nothing to do with the Wii's graphic. It's just because of the art
style. That's not just for the Wii, though. I mean, you can get like, a technically sound... like, graphically speaking, games for the PS3, and it can still look like crap, because it's just a terrible art direction. Well, that's very subjective, obviously, but...
No, it's true, though. I mean, if a game's not interesting to look at, it's not always about graphics. Sometimes it's just that, you know, well done, your characters are boring, and your environments are dull and have no atmosphere.
Well, it's like the, you've obviously done the bit where you've attacked the Garak base for the first time, James.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, it just looks so amazing just running through that with all these stuff going on in the background, and it's just jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, I don't know if anyone here watches Good Game, but they reviewed Last Story the other week, and they had to make the great point about how they wish it was on another system to look better, and then they showed a comparison with this jaw-dropping scene from Mass Effect 3 where something is exploding in the background, and then they showed the Last Story, which is just... him walking through the town, and it's like, well, if you had have picked the right moments, it could easily look as impressive or as amazing as anything else.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, because in Mass Effect 3...
You said that about other Wii games.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, in Mass Effect 3, it has the same feel. Like, you know, that whole entire going on, there's a war going on and all that kind of stuff, and you get to see all that stuff going on in the background. And then those scenes from Last Story are very similar. I kind of drew parallels because I was playing both at the time. But yeah, you know, this is the thing, this is the battle that we've been fighting for so many years.
Oh, it's going to continue with the Wii U if that ends up being a lot more underpowered than what comes out next.
Wii has no games.
Yeah. I was sort of thinking about that, because, I mean, there was a thread on another forum about what games should come out for the Wii now that we've got all this RPG interest, and I'm like, if this had come out 2 or 3 years ago, or like 2 years ago when it came out in Japan... There could have been a good market for JRPGs on the Wii. Like, Namco could have bought Tales of Graces over and so on. But now it's very late in the cycle, so there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Wii U, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
The other question you have to ask is, do all these RPGs get made for Wii because it's less expensive to make?
Possibly.
Well, then we'll...
I think that could be, like, a bit of a pull for developers.
Could be something to do with, like, a risk-reward sort of dynamic, you know?
But the thing is, like, you know, if the Wii U goes HD, do we lose that? I hope not.
Think so, because probably as the technology gets older and people are more acquainted with it, if it's still on a similar level to, say, PS3 and 360, it shouldn't make a difference.
That's true.
And, I mean, who knows, maybe this stuff will move to the 3DS.
That's also possible.
Love to see this or Xenoblade on the 3DS because that'd be awesome. So we'll take a quick break now, and then we'll be back with a little bit of news, and then after that we'll have a look back on year one of the 3DS. We're back. So as I said before, it's been a year. There's a lot of news. We won't go through all the news of last year, so let's just go through what we've recently had. Epic Mickey, which was a Wii exclusive. When did that come out? Was it 09 or 10?
Sometime.
10, I think.
Yeah, 2010. It was a good little game. It had a few niggles and problems with it. Camera controls, scans from some magazines, if you can find them. The game just looks amazing.
And it's meant to be a follow-up to the Castle of Illusion.
It's called Epic Mickey Power of Illusion. And in one of the screenshots, Scrooge McDuck is in it. So that can only mean that DuckTales is coming next.
Well, yeah. Which means that's awesome. Like, yes. We've got DuckTales in there, it's all good.
I'm really glad that, that there's a follow-up, that there's the 3DS is getting one, and that Epic Mickey is getting another shot, because they were so close to just knocking it out of the park with the Wii one that it's good to see that the sequel's coming out that's going to just tidy things up and make it a lot more of an enjoyable experience. I think the dates for those are looking at around September.
I have no idea, to be honest.
Sure, but yeah, it'll be second half of this year sometimes. Sometime another game announcement is Darksiders 2 has been confirmed as a launch title for the Wii U. Darksiders was basically Zelda for adults that came out on all the HD consoles about 2 years ago. Really good game. Dark Souls 2 looks to be damn amazing as well. Unfortunately, though, it is launching after the... I think it's launching in June for everything else. So it's going to be a little bit later than the 360 PS3 versions, but hopefully that'll mean it's going to be a lot better of a game.
I think people, yeah, that was the biggest thing I remember. People would be like, oh, Darksiders 2 is coming out for Wii U, so that means Wii U's coming out in June. And I was like, no. That's not the same thing.
When
doesn't work like that.
When do you think the Wii U is coming out, James?
I don't know. Before Christmas? Do you reckon it's even coming this year?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Safe bet.
I'm thinking September, maybe.
September would be a smart launch.
Because then they can build up their stock for Christmas.
Yeah.
September launch with new Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, if that's the only way they can recreate the...
Recreate it by doing exactly the same thing.
What was the... Oh, Wii Sports. How did I forget the name of that thing?
Quite easily.
And then other game announcements. We've got Pandora's Tower, which is another one of the Wii RPGs that everyone's been screaming out for. That's coming out on April 12th for Australia. I don't think we're getting the special edition. That's going to be Europe only. But, hey, at least we're getting another mature
We're getting game. Slammed with excellent RPGs on the Wii lately.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, it's funny when you just look at the Wii, there are a lot of goodish RPGs on it.
But often they're quite, they're a little bit apart, and none of them have been, in my opinion, none of them have been excellent. And then we've got Xenoblade, Last Story, Pandora's. It's just like, bam.
Bam, bam. So
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm just sort of saying, I've been looking at other Wii RPGs, like I bought Spectrobes Origins, because, it's an RPG, I'll get that.
Right.
And, no, it rated all right by the looks of it. And I also bought Tales of Symphonia, Dawn of a New World, which cost a lot to track down.
Yeah.
Is that good?
So rare.
I don't know.
I played the GameCube one.
Yeah, I got the GameCube one as well. Haven't finished it. As soon as I finish Tales of the Abyss on 3DS, I'll finish off the Wii U one. Someone's doing burnouts in the background. But yeah, April 12th, mark that down, go pre-order it. Probably don't go pre-order it from Game, because it looks like they're going to be shutting down, or God knows what's going on there.
Snap.
Sorry?
I said snap.
We knew it was coming for ages now.
Well, I think we did.
It's just going to be JB and EB to pick up video games soon.
Yep.
Well, Dick Smith is saying they're still selling games.
But this fire sale they've got going on looks a bit fishy.
Yeah.
And Myers doesn't sell them anymore. Isn't Harvey Norman going to stop selling them soon?
I haven't heard that, but okay. Maybe.
They just had a delicious sale.
I heard about that.
Online, though, but...
off sale.
Pokemon Black and White 2.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
can't
my
believe
God.
That's happening. But, yeah, that's been announced for Spring 2012, so which should be between September and November later this year. I think we're all just so amazed that they're doing a number two to a Pokemon
it's
game.
Have they actually revealed whether or not it's a new game, or if it's like just a double version of like the classic third iteration of the series, or for each generation?
Do you know what? They mentioned that it was going to be completely different, but I feel like that's what they said about Black and White, and it really wasn't.
I've heard
Black and White was different enough, wasn't it?
I thought it was different, but not completely different. It was still the same Pokemon. Like, it was still catch things, train them, go here, get gym badges.
The problem, though, with Pokemon games is when they try and do something new, like they do Mystery Dungeon or Ranger or whatever, people go, no, we just want the original game, but in 3D. And then they do that, like, with the Colosseum games. No, not Colosseum. Is that one I'm thinking of?
That's not the original game. You're thinking of Stadium.
No, but what's the one on GameCube?
Colosseum.
Yeah, NXT. I mean, that's probably the closest we've gotten to a console Pokemon game, but even then, they're not that good.
It's just, I mean, from what I've heard, this is going to be more like rumour mill, of course, but more like an RPG. So there will be quests, and there will be things like that, which I think look great. I'm hyped. I want a new, but at the same time, I mean, I would kill for a 3D, like, console version Pokemon game, like, maybe even, like, first person, and you actually walk around the world. And
Skyrim with Pokemon.
Pokemon Snap 3D.
Pokemon, that's just a camera, man.
We can throw stuff at them as well and watch the funny effects when you're throwing the pest balls at Pikachu.
Balls.
Yeah.
Love them.
It's
I love
funny.
That game.
I think everyone loves it. Looking back in
it's hindsight. A good game. Like, it's not that deep, and you can finish it really quickly, but it's fun. Especially the first time you play
it on a virtual console. I keep looking at it like, I should get that.
Strange move in that it's been announced for the original DS, not the 3DS.
No, that's the most annoying thing to me.
I'm hoping it might be... it makes sense that there's a bigger install base for the DS and you can play DS games on the 3DS. I'm hoping it might be slightly enhanced for the 3DS, though. That would be kind of cool if they can do that.
I don't think they can, though.
I don't know if they can, yeah.
Didn't they say they were going to do that with the original Black and White as well?
No, that was DSi. That was the capabilities of the... at least that's what I think you're talking about.
Probably.
But yeah, there's not a lot of not a lot of details out on it at this stage. But
the thing is, guys, it comes out in 2 months in Japan.
Yeah,
It just seems too fast for it to be too major.
As does is that out yet? The Pokemon Nagaburo's Ambition or whatever that.
That's out in Japan.
Yeah, that weird crossover Pokemon thing.
I don't even know what to think about that.
It's never going to come out of
anything. I know, which is annoying, because I'd probably buy that, because it actually looks kind of cool.
Mm.
Isn't that quite cool? I watched some gameplay footage of it, and it's kind of...
Yeah, apparently some actual...
It's the Samurai Warriors or something. It's like the Japanese version.
It's based on a real guy who apparently in Japan kicked all the Christians out of Japan back in, like, the medieval feudal times and all that, so...
Good thing you want to associate Pokemon with.
Yeah, I know, right? Because as if there's not enough demonic references, according to a lot of the more hardcore Christian followers.
Like, ethnically cleanse a town with the help of your Pokemon.
Jinx is brought back to its original design.
It's a strategy RPG, which I just... I think it would be interesting to see how they'd incorporate Pokemon into that.
Yeah.
The only strategy RPG I've got my eye on at the moment is Fire Emblem.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll leave that for news. After another quick break, we're just going to have a, hopefully quick, because this has gone on for a while and I've got to edit the darn thing, look back at year one of the 3DS. So we'll see you after some more Kid Icarus music is inserted here. We're back. So I think if you listen to the last episode of Castle Beacon, we were talking about how the 3DS is going to launch. Now it's launched a year ago, so there's a fair bit to talk about. Let's start where all things started. The 3DS had an interesting launch, to say the least. Scott, I don't think you've got a 3DS, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. You're hanging out for the inevitable revision. Unit coming out whenever.
Yeah, I hadn't planned to buy one at launch anyway, just because there really wasn't anything there that appealed to me.
Oh, not even.
I'm not really into fighters, so Street Fighter was like the big get Street Fighter, and I'm like, no. And yeah, like the first game that really came out, because I'm not a big fan of like all the ports they're doing. Like, I mean, I appreciate them, and I probably will get them eventually. But for me, they're not what sells a system, and it's not what's going to get me to buy a system. So the first game that came out that actually made me want to get one was 3D Land.
Yes, I don't blame you because that's the best. not the damn thing.
And then like Kid Icarus is obviously another one that's really pushing it. But yeah, I mean, it's just there's just not that much really. For me. I mean, it's getting there, slowly. Luigi's Mansion 2 will be another big thing when that finally comes out.
Yeah. And Fire Emblem.
But that's why I haven't got one yet, and also because I'm waiting for the redesign, as you said.
3DS is still at the console of promises. Like, there's so much that we want to come out for it, but it's just not here yet.
Mm. But then there's also so much has come out for it. It's just, I mean, it took a while to get to like September or whenever things just really started rolling into gear for it. But especially like November, December, January, and February was just packed with so many good games for it. Did you get one at launch, Hope?
Sort of. My boyfriend got one at launch, so I kind of by proxy got one at launch. But cool. Then I got one for Christmas because it was red.
And James, both you and I, we launch-dayed it.
Yeah, I bought
you launch-dayed it. I had to wait for mine to ship because Amazon was being a pain.
Yeah, I bought mine.
That's what you get.
Yeah. I get games a lot cheaper, so I will.
Yeah, but shut up.
I still had Kid Icarus before it came out in Australia, and there was only like a week's release date difference.
I had Kid Icarus before you.
Yeah, but you get review copies, so that doesn't count. I do hate it when I get Tom Vukov, oh, I've got this game. He goes, yeah, I had that 2 weeks. Shut up. It's not fair.
You know, I put mine launch day. I got Street Fighter and Rayman 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I played every single launch game. I only kept Street Fighter.
Even Buster Move?
What?
Buster Move or whatever it was.
Oh, that came out like a week later.
Okay.
Played that. I didn't keep it. But the launch was pretty not good.
Yeah, I mean, we've got 2 3DSs in our house, and we've got Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart, and they're the only ones we've actually kept.
Yeah.
I shouldn't go through how many games I've... I think I've got 30 3DS games now.
What?
Yeah, I know.
There aren't that many good 3DS games.
I debate that. I think there are lots of good ones.
Are lots, but there aren't 30.
Well, there's only like 5 I sort of regret getting. Cubic Ninja.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I was really looking forward to that because that sounded like a great idea. Driver 3D, I don't even know why I bought that.
Yeah, I don't know why I bought that either.
I'd need to go through to see what else I've bought that I really regret. Oh, Rabbids travel in time or whatever.
That was okay. I don't know.
Yeah, that actually looked kind of decent.
What's
wrong with it?
I don't know. It just seemed a bit bland to me.
It's more, it's more quantity over quality.
Yeah, and I just didn't grab me the way it wanted to. So I'm just trying to see if I find a list here of what I bought. But what I did get at launch was I got Street Fighter and Pilot Wings because that was a US launch title. And then shortly after I ordered, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars and Rabbids Travel in Time. Unfortunately, I haven't touched Shadow Wars, but everyone who I've spoken to who's played it just say it's brilliant. But yeah, I just couldn't get into it. But I mean, there's lots of really good stuff on there, like
Resident Evil Revelations is easily one of the best games I've ever played.
I haven't played it yet. I've played the demo.
It's scary. I wish that was the thing. Like, a lot of people won't play it because they think they'll be scared. And I wish that more people could play it. But it is. It's like, you know, it's easily... It's almost better than Resident Evil 5, you know?
It's not hard. I enjoyed Resident Evil Mercs, although a lot of people were down on that. I thought that was good. Dead or Alive Dimensions... wasn't bad. I don't think I got into that as much as I did Street Fighter. Although the other ones I didn't like. I didn't like BlazBlue.
Yeah, I just bought that, actually.
Looks so cheap.
It does look
cheap. It looks like you're playing on a glass plane in front of the background. That's all. And I'm just like, would have expected a bit more. And I didn't enjoy Pirates of the Caribbean 3DS, because I thought, oh, this could be interesting. No, it's really not. It's shit.
How could that be interesting?
Yeah, how could that be interesting?
But I mean, I think my experience.
Taking a bit of a gamble there.
It's a Lego game. I mean, bloody Lego Harry Potter.
The Lego one. Sorry.
I mean, Lego games usually don't disappoint, and this did. What else did I... I'm just looking at all the games. I mean, I think because I've also got a US one, I've got some games that we didn't get here. Like I've got Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked, which, yes, it's a port of a DS game, but it's a port of an amazing DS game, and I just loved it all over again.
I'm hoping to win a bid on eBay to get the one on DS.
How much is it selling for?
Well, no one's put a bid on it yet, but if I do put a bid on it, the lowest bid will be, like, including postage, $25, which is...
It's not bad. That's easily worth it for that.
It'll probably go higher, though.
Then I got other stuff. Like I really enjoyed Pac-Man and Galaga Dimensions. I think that was the last review I did for the site. Just for how awesome Galaga... what's it called? The Xbox Live one?
Galaga Legion.
The Pac-Man Extreme or something.
Yeah,
that's just Championship Edition.
Great in 3D. And then other stuff like Bit Trip Saga and Skylanders, which, yeah, we won't go into that. That's just destroyed me. I liked having money and then Skylanders existed.
I want Skylanders but Pokemon.
Yeah, no shit. What a good idea.
You guys work in retail. Do you really want that happening? Cause
I don't work in retail.
I thought you worked at EB.
No.
Everyone thinks that. I used to work at EB like 5 years ago. Not that long ago. 3 years ago. 4 years ago.
Oh, that's another one I bought I didn't like. Centipede Infestation.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, that doesn't sound like a game. That sounds like a problem.
Sounds like a disease.
It's a twin stick shooter.
Oh, how boring.
But made by WayForward, and I thought, oh, it's
the first... WayForward is the most overrated developer ever.
I know, but I like them. And I thought, this can't be bad, because they do good stuff.
Guys,
because it's just there's not much depth to that, because I think I've seen footage of that, and that seems like a pretty basic game.
Yeah, there's nothing to it.
Carnival Games came out last week, guys.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah, great.
But
Carnival Games 3D.
But there has been a lot of really great stuff on it, like Shinobi. You played that, didn't you, James?
Yes, I did. Shinobi was actually really good. Much better than I thought.
You were down on it just because of the developer, but I told you that they do good stuff at times.
Yeah, but you have to consider these things.
I know.
That was biggest disappointment for me, for sure, was James Noir's Hollywood Crimes.
Just not what you're looking forward to?
Nah, it was like, the story was terrible. made no sense, and it was like, I don't know, I thought I was expecting like an adult Professor Layton, but instead I got, I don't even know what it is. It's just this weird mix of puzzles and bad story and no production values. I don't know, it's just depressing.
I can't wait for that to actually come out, the new Layton game.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I really wish they would hurry up and get those localized a lot quicker than they do, but they just take so long for those to come out. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. Have you been listening to some of the music from it?
No.
You liked The World Ends With You, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got remixes of The World Ends With You songs.
Pretty cool. The World Ends With You was a great game.
I love that game.
But, I mean, yeah, it's been an interesting year for the 3DS. It did get off to a really, really bad launch and then a really bad drought period afterwards. But, as I said, once we sort of hit that, I mean, when Mario Kart and Mario 3D Land and... which is funny, because, I mean, everyone's looking forward to Zelda, and that sort of came out, so, yeah, now there's still nothing for it. But then, I mean, Mario 3D Land was my game of last year. It was just such an eye-opening experience, and, I mean, this is from someone who didn't enjoy the new Super Mario Bros. Games, and I couldn't get into Mario Galaxy 2, so...
I don't like Mario 3D Land.
Oh, I love it. Why don't you like it?
I understand why people don't like it, but, you hope can tell us why.
I found that there was never anything that felt like a challenge about it. It was all just get through this level.
And did you do the second lot of areas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, sometimes it was like, sometimes obviously you would die, but the actual puzzle wasn't challenging. It was just, for me, it was usually the controls that were being a problem. Like, I knew how to do everything. It was just that, or maybe my angle was off because of 3D or something like that. Like, I found that whenever I felt like I died, I didn't feel like it was a just death, if that makes sense. It felt more like
I get that.
A problem with the game than a problem with how I was playing the game.
That's fair enough.
I think,
and
yeah,
also,
no,
you know,
that's true.
Rayman Origins came out on other things and kicks the shit out of everything else. So.
Oh. I haven't bought that yet because I'm waiting for the goddamn 3DS version to come out, and it just keeps getting delayed and delayed.
I want to buy it on every single platform under the sun.
I want to rub it all over my body and sit in it with a tub of jelly. It's the best thing in the world. It's really good. I like it.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but great stuff about it.
It is good, but I don't hold it in such high regard.
Although it annoys me when I see like Yahtzee do a review and say this is like Mario sucks compared to this. And
Mario does suck compared to this, but they're two different games and they shouldn't be compared that way.
Yeah, tell that to Yahtzee.
Yahtzee is not a reviewer; he's an entertainer.
Yeah, I know, and the problem is, though, he's in a position of power where people think he is a reviewer and take his word
for
it.
No, no one takes him seriously.
Oh, like, I know people who do.
I think people do. People do.
There would be some people, yeah.
Like the dumb public.
I take some of the stuff that he says seriously. Like, if he says a game is good, I'll be like, oh, that game must be, like, really good. But if he says a game is bad, I just think that must be a decent game, not a shitty game.
He just picks holes and stuff for just... Oh, whatever.
So what do we all think was the biggest disappointment with the 3DS?
You go first.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
For me, it would probably be a mix between Steel Diver and James Wise Hollywood Crimes.
I'm so glad I didn't get Steel Diver. I mean, I've heard some people say it's not too bad if you just sort of play it the way it's meant to be. But, yeah, I've sort of avoided it.
My biggest letdown would be Mario 3D Land.
My biggest is the fact that my screen scratches itself.
What?
Some of the 3DSs have the problem where the bottom screen will actually scratch the top screen, because the top screen's slightly wider than the bottom screen. And
because you failed and bought a US one on Amazon again?
No. I haven't failed. One's awesome.
I guess you can prevent that if you just got some protectors or something, though.
Yeah, I mean, if I had have put a screen protector on there, I'd probably be fine. I've got these sort of rubber stoppers under it now, so the thing can't close fully, but closes enough to go into sleep mode.
Actually, I changed my biggest disappointment. My biggest disappointment was Assassin's Creed being cancelled.
That was good.
Yeah, the last one was meant to be for 3DS, wasn't it?
Apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My
biggest disappointment would probably be... Well, the reason I still haven't bought one is because they haven't had the ability to accommodate for left-handers.
Yeah.
I mean, that just sucks.
So really, like... I mean, no offense to whoever made that thing, but what kind of person doesn't put two sticks on it?
The people who made the PSP.
Yeah,
but I mean, we've learned from that mistake.
Yeah.
We should have learned from that mistake.
Like, even with Skyward Sword, when I played Twilight Princess on Wii, I played it with the Wii remote in my left hand. I know that's kind of weird. And then I played Galaxy the same way. But I've taught myself to do it the other way, just because now with the Motion Plus for Skyward Sword, it just wouldn't feel right at all. But
really?
At the same time, it's not that natural to use... Well, yeah, because, like, you know, you grow up using, like, if you pretend to have, like, play sword fights, you always put it in your left hand, yeah? Or your preferred hand,
I should change the settings so that...
No, you can't.
No? Really?
No.
No, apparently not.
That's bold.
Like, IGN said you could, and then, like, they were like, oh, we stuffed up, you can't.
That's odd for IGN to make a mistake.
Yeah, that's just disappointing.
With
the DS games, like Phantom Hourglass, it lets you choose if you're left-handed or right-handed.
It really just should be a no-brainer. I mean, I don't know.
It's treated like a disability, which is kind of insulting.
Because the system's not symmetrical, so they... sort of caused a lot of issues, but I mean, I think the 3DS sort of was rushed out to the market. Everything you look at it sort of says that, like the game, just the launch lineup and these little niggles with the system and all that. And the fact that the eShop wasn't available at launch, which I think was one of my biggest problems. And even now, I mean, I don't mind the eShop, but even when it did launch, it's just taken so long to finally pick up Steam. And
although, like, because obviously those of us who got one on launch, we got the Ambassador Program. I mean, that was pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah.
All the games from that.
When you look at it from someone who got one from launch, we got Excitebike for free, we got the 3D Pokedex, which is shit, but we still got that for free.
You got that even if you didn't get that for launch.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying all this extra content we've sort of gotten on top of it.
Just some of those, like, yeah, I mean, a lot of the, especially the Game Boy ports and stuff, the Ambassadors program, I mean, they really make it a worthwhile handheld to take with you because there's all those, like, good old games on it now.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Speaking of the eShoppers, I think I've bought every single eShop title, barring a couple of Game Boy games. I'm not buying Pac-Man again. but even then, I'm still sort of disappointed that they're not. As someone who has like a whole box, a really big size box full of Game Boy games, I'm sort of disappointed they haven't really been pushing the Virtual Console as far as they could have. But I mean, even with the Wii, that sort of all dried up as well anyway.
Even 3D classics have been a letdown, I reckon.
Yeah.
There's been one really good one, which is Twin B. All the others are sort of very mediocre games. Oh, I mean Kirby, sorry. Kirby's
How
a really good game.
How many are there?
I think there's...
Six?
Yeah. There's Urban Champion,
Six,
yeah.
LOL.
Excitebike, Xevious...
It's got plenty of time to get better, though. I mean, there are only six out yet.
I hope so. I mean, I like Kid Icarus. Kid Icarus is cool.
I'm waiting for him to do, like, a 3D classic for Zelda, because that would just be awesome.
Well, that's the thing. When they announced 3D classics, you know, everyone was like, oh! Because, like, they showed footage of Yoshi's Story and, like, Super Mario Bros.
Yoshi's Story is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Not Yoshi's Story, sorry. Yoshi's Island.
No, that's what I meant as well.
Yeah. imagine a 3D version of Yoshi's Island. They need to do that. I would pay full price for that.
That's saying something from you.
I'm glad the eShop has picked up because, I mean, we've seen some great games on there. I mean, I got a lot of time out of Freaky Forms. I don't think that would have been for everyone, though. Then we had stuff like Mighty Switch Force, Dylan's
All games that only you played.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, VVV is brilliant. I don't know when that's coming out of the Eurostore. Mutant Muds is just amazing. Dylan's Rolling Western has issues, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I think you guys are still waiting on Sakura Samurai, but that was pretty cool as well. And then, of course, the really big one is Pushmo, which just is amazing beyond words.
That looks fun.
Have you played it, James?
No.
Do you hate fun?
Apparently.
Okay, cool. you should check that out, because it's, yeah, brilliant.
I need a time machine.
Why?
Just need more time, and I can do everything I want.
Aren't you finished uni soon?
No.
Okay, damn. but yeah, so, I mean, it's been up and down for the 3DS, the price launch and the Ambassadors and actually good games coming out. Looking forward, what games are you sort of looking forward to?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited. Luigi's Mansion 2 should be good, but I don't know. What do you think about it? What is coming out?
Monster Hunter Tri or 3D?
Over Monster Hunter.
I'm
a Capcom person.
I didn't mind the Wii one. I didn't play a lot of it. And
I didn't understand the Wii one. I tried playing it, but it just didn't feel like there was...
I don't think there's much to do, really. You just sort of play kid stuff.
Maybe I'm not Japanese enough.
to really get the most out of it, you need to know, what you're doing, and you're not going to know what you're doing unless you spend, hours on hours reading, the wiki.
Yeah, and knowing what...
to truly know what you're doing, having to combine stuff and how to get, to your certain weapon from your tree and weapon tree or whatever. Because I played a little bit of it, but, yeah, it's just too much for me.
Too
overwhelming.
I mean, there's a lot I'm looking forward to, like the Epic Mickey game we're talking about before.
Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2, Mega Man Legends 3, because I have faith Capcom will re-announce that.
I have faith that they won't.
Yeah, I know. Kingdom Hearts 3D, even though I'm not a huge Kingdom Hearts fan, I still reckon it looks awesome. Heroes of Ruin.
The Inevitable Pokemon.
Yeah, Paper Mario.
Paper Mario would be good.
They need to announce more.
Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright, when we actually see more of that.
I hope that comes here.
Mm. I think Mario Tennis is the next big game, which just sort of sounds funny saying Mario Tennis is the big game.
It looks
pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's a shame there's not going to be like a RPG mode like they've done in the previous Camelot ones, but...
A Rhythm Thief comes out next week.
Yeah, I played a bit of the demo of that. The first level. I don't deal well with games like that or Elite Beat.
You have no sense of rhythm?
No.
That's sad.
Is Rhythm Heaven coming out in Australia for Wii?
I don't know. Is it out? Is it out?
I haven't seen it.
No, but is it out anywhere?
Oh, it's out in America.
I need that game. Just from YouTube videos. I can't. I'm addicted to them.
We can all be like Beyonce if we play it.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to Bravely Default Flying Fairy.
That is the worst name.
I know, right?
It's got
to be
good. What
does it mean?
It's
Bravely Default.
What does Bravely Default mean? You're brave to be...
It's from the same guys who made the Final Fantasy Four Heroes Alight games and the DS one, so it should be good. But I think,
I think the only thing, do you know what I do think that I think we should just quickly talk about? The pricing of the games, especially in Australia.
Okay. Well, we're always going to get screwed.
But I think now they have to really reassess what they're doing, because for the same price as a normal 3DS game, such as Nintendogs, you can get Uncharted on your PS Vita for the same price. And
a game like Nintendogs shouldn't be a retail title anyway. I mean, it was a point where that should have existed, but now...
I think Nintendo needs to look at each game and actually think about what people should be paying, would want to pay for it.
Rather than just sort of anything that's made by Nintendo gets this base high price.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't like, because, you know, I hate Uncharted, but I understand that it's a bigger game with much better production values. And for that to be in the same price point as games like Nintendogs or, what's another one? Steel Diver. Yeah, But I've heard murmurs that they're going to be bringing out their, classics or budget or something. So hopefully that does happen.
I just don't expect it to change because, I mean, especially first-party Nintendo games, their prices, I mean, a five-year-old Wii game that's a first-party Nintendo game is the same amount it was when it came out on launch. It's just the way it's been, and it's people, like people pay it.
Yeah, new Super Mario Bros. DS, has that ever dropped in price?
No, you know, no, we'll go one step better. Super Mario Bros. 64 DS is still $69.95 retail.
That
and
blows
pay.
My mind. I mean, again, it's certain games can afford that. You slap Mario on something, it's going to sell, so
that's a
they
DS
can get away with it.
Launch title, though. A DS
I know,
launch
I
title.
I know. I got it at launch.
It's like 7 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It's a real problem. Like, it's just they don't depreciate in stores, and it's the reason why I haven't bought so many Nintendo titles.
That was like, yeah, Mario Kart.
Yeah, and it's only Nintendo products because, like, all the other platforms have depreciation. So.
Like, even Ghost Trick. Well, I mean, Ghost
Trick
is a great game, but that's gone down to like $20.
And I've seen it for $15.
Yeah, see, like, it's amazing. It's an amazing game. I gave it a 10.
And then you got the iOS version, which is probably even cheaper.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Yeah, and that's the other thing, you know, like with all App Store stuff and all that, it's just, they need to be a little bit more smarter with their pricing, I think.
Once again, you could do something like Nintendogs pre-iOS, but now we're in a different market where you can't really, like Steel Diver should have been a downloadable game.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
probably would have been
is,
a great launch for the eShop with something like that.
The thing is with Nintendo, I mean, like even with Sony, you know, all the Sony games on the Vita, you know, you've got the higher ones, they're like Uncharted, they were $69.95. And then you've got like the really terrible ones like Little Deviants and Reality Fighters. And Sony knows that they're not good, so they're at a lower price. You know, it just seems smart to do it that way.
If anything though, the whole problems the 3DS has had, it's been a good kick in the pants for Nintendo, so like they're learning, well, we can't get away with this shit anymore. We need to sort of
catch up
with everyone else. I mean, I think they really still are lagging in the digital area, which, I mean, I probably would have bought so many more games if they had have had them as digital releases. Like, where is the ability? No, they should be able to let people buy old DS games online like they do for Xbox Classics. Or
yeah, they're not going to do that yet, though. Maybe
it's
in a few years'
you know,
time.
But it's not like it's gigs and gigs and gigs of data.
And, I mean, the 3DS can hold up to a 32-gig SD card, and that'll work fine, so they can fit the stuff on there.
It's just money-grabbing.
It's Nintendo, though. They can get away with it, so.
Not anymore.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Fanboys will always pay the price.
Well, I think this year's E3 is going to be interesting, because it's been, I mean, last year's was, Nintendo was still saying everything's going fine with the 3DS, and then they acknowledged things weren't going as fine, and then everything with the Wii U's had some bad press as well, so I'm going to be interested to see what happens.
I think there's rumours that they'll change the name of the Wii U or hold any real...
I hope they
solid.
Do. I don't think they're going to, but man, that's the worst name I've ever heard.
I'm not too fond of it.
It's gonna if they do, it's gonna be the same as the 3DS. People just think because Nintendo trained people to go DS, DS Lite, DSi, DSi XL. They train people just to expect it just to be like a yearly update, and the same thing would happen to the Wii if they just went Wii U. But they've also spent all this time making this good brand up of the Wii, so it's.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't they want something? Because they're going in a very different direction with the Wii U. I mean, they're finally upgrading their graphics and everything. I mean, I thought they would have wanted to re-establish, like, have some newness to it rather than just making it feel like an upgrade.
Call it the NES 6 or something.
You know what is good, but I really wish that they didn't do, is all your accessories will work with it. All your remotes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cool thing, but at the same time, yeah. I hate the Wii remotes, and I feel like
I love the Wii remote. It's the best controller ever.
I feel like they don't work they
after
don't
the
work as well as they should. And I think a lot of
I hate that you have to plug the classic controllers into Wii remotes. I wish they just had their
That's
own.
That's annoying.
Controller.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're sort of getting off topic of the 3DS, but yeah. So it's been an interesting year. Going to be interesting to see what happens with the next 12 months for it. Looks like we've got another bit of a dry spell coming up with, again, Mario Tennis being the big game. When's Spirit Camera coming out down here, actually?
We don't know.
I should order that. I will order that. Anyway, another quick break, and then we'll be back to wrap everything up and just say what's going on with the site. So see you in 30 seconds, a minute, I don't know. As I sort of alluded to before, I think I may have said it, our new site's launching. That's why Vuk's not here right now, because he's doing it all himself.
It's probably launched by the time you hear this.
Yep. So, James, what's going on with the site?
There's a lot of exciting and new things happening.
Woo!
Yes, those noises should be high abundance.
Yay.
Thank you for all your support, guys. Yeah, I don't really know what to say about the new site yet, because it's more Vuk's baby than mine. He's been working on it for a good few months now.
Non-stop.
It does look so much better. Not that the last one looked bad, but it just does look just so much nicer. More features. We're currently working on, I believe, a comic, which is quite exciting. Hope is going to be drawing it. I think everyone's going to be contributing ideas. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot up in the air with it at the moment because we're having trouble making some minute decisions about it as these things go.
What will he wear on his head?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
We have huge dilemmas.
Thanks a lot, guys.
hopefully we'll get to it. I think it's a really good idea. I love it. And I think it's so funny, the first one, if that does become the first one. So you will see that in the future weeks. Besides
got
that...
on reviews, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
What reviews do we have going up soon? And what's just come out?
By the time you hear this, there should be reviews up for Poke Park 2, I hope. And I've done Kid Icarus Uprising. The important thing with Kid Icarus is to note that even though I've done a review and given it a good score, Vuk has also done a mini-review, which will appear next to it, because he's left-handed, so just so you lefties know what to think as well, because that's something that we thought was important to address. Hopefully after that we should have reviews up for The Last Story and Blaze Blue on 3DS, but we will see how we go, because at the moment a lot of these are being done by me, buying them myself. Because for some reason Nintendo stopped sending us stuff. What's the deal, Nintendo? Besides Poke Park.
I should really get around to reviewing all the downloadable stuff I buy.
That would be nice.
I know. Yeah. I've got all the Game Gear games. I've played like 5 minutes of all of them.
It's just really bizarre. I find it really odd that, you know, like we didn't get sent Last Story or Tekken, and they're two quite big games for the 3DS and Wii, but whatever. I mean, I'm going to try and review, because I've done Tekken.
Yep, we got the review for Tekken. The Metal Gear Snakeheader went up recently.
Yeah, Metal Gear just went up as well, and Tekken just went up. But yeah, so hopefully if I get time, Last Story and Blaze Blue will be done.
Who reviewed Boom Street?
Me.
Did you like it?
Nah.
Oh, I bought it.
I did. I did, but I didn't. It was confusing. Mario Party 9 just went up as well. Now that I think about it. Besides that, that's probably about it for reviews. Obviously, the Vukcast is now back.
Yep, be back bi-weekly.
I'm
hopefully.
Amazed that we've actually recorded it.
I've tried so hard in the last year to get some done, and just there was such a lack of interest, I sort of had given up hope. Not you, Hope, just, you know.
Shut up, both of you.
I do still have all my leftover prizes from the last time we did it, so I think next time we do one, I'll actually work on a new idea for a competition.
Yes, we will bring them back. We will be bringing them back too. Okay, so...
And also, we've got a brand... I just got to do a plug for this brand new theme for the podcast done by a mate of mine. You'll be able to find him on Facebook as Juxtapose. He does DJing and stuff. I'll have actual spelling of that in the show notes. So hopefully you all enjoy the new theme we've got. So we're not ripping off anyone else this time, like we have in the past, just with other people's music.
Which is good.
Yep.
And finally, there are no Wi-Fi nights planned right now, but I'm sure that you guys make sure you sign up to the forums. There will be
updates. Come say hello.
exactly.
Yep, just visit us. It's www.vooks.net. And like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
I know there are a lot of you who listen but don't visit the site. But
sure.
you might have fun if you visit the site. You never know.
Heaps of great news is always going up, but the whole thing with Dick Smith, the other...
We update daily, pretty much.
And we're friendly.
Speaking of Dick Smith, I told him I'd give him a plug because he wouldn't be able to make it this week. Anthony at EcoGamer, if you're Australian looking for good gaming, where to find good gaming bargains, head over to ecogamer.com, and heaps of info there for that. That's his cheap plug for it. And I think that's about it, isn't it? Does anyone want to give out your Twitter names if you want people to follow you on that?
No. Okay. That's the other thing. On the new site, if you ever, each of our reviews will now have a little biography at the bottom of us, and they will link to our Twitter, Facebook, and website.
I need to finish my bio thing. I haven't done it yet.
Yes, well, that needs to be done now.
I'm getting too distracted by the Google Maps Nest mode that they've got.
So, guys, if you notice that there are profiles missing on the new site, it's all Flame Condon's fault.
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're all done.
Vuk deleted my profile.
Rightly so.
I would delete your profile if I could.
Bye. Okay. Anyway, so that's it. I think this has gone for about over an hour and a half, at least. Thanks for listening. See you again in 2 weeks. And, yeah, until then, keep watching the skies or something. I don't know. Witty outro. Anyone else want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you later. Sky, never come back, no run away with all